America is now under martial law. All constitutional rights have been suspended. Stay in your home. Do not attempt to contact loved ones, insurance agents, or attorneys. Shut up. Do not attempt to think or depression may occur. Stay in your home. Curfew is at 7 p.m. sharp after work. Anyone caught outside the gates of their subdivision sectors after curfew will be shot. Remain calm. Do not panic. Your neighborhood watch officer will be by to collect urine samples in the morning. Anyone caught interfering with the collection of urine samples will be shot. Stay in your home. Remain calm. The number one enemy of progress is questions. National security is more important than individual will. All sports broadcasts will proceed as normal. No more than two people may gather anywhere without permission. Use only the drugs prescribed by your boss or supervisor. Shut up! Be happy! Obey all orders without question. The comfort you've demanded is now mandatory. Be happy. At last, everything is done for you.
Welcome. You are listening to the Freedom Ministry. And as always, I am your host, your humble host, Chris Switzer. And I am fallible. I make errors, but I will admit when I err, because I am seeking the truth, and the truth will out. The truth will out. We were going through 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 6 with Tom from Utah, and you're still on the line, Tom. Please, carry on.
First of all, I have to really give you accolades for being truly Christian in trying to teach Christianity, or how to say Christ-like, as we try to teach Christ. It's really sad when we become contentious just because we may disagree on a point or two, but in reality, that point is kind of trivial. It's like the gnat on the elephant's back compared to the most important principle of Christianity, which is charity.
Yeah.
Charity overcometh a multitude of sins if we're just kind. You know, all these fine details, they're nice to know, but in fact, the greatest principle of all of Christianity is charity.
Indeed.
Anyway, back to the, in the older versions of the King James, I don't know about the current ones because I haven't seen anything for the last 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
But I believe in the back of the King James, there's a dictionary, Bible dictionary, and you'll find a definition of italicized words, italics.
Yep.
Do you have your Bible there? Can you crack
I'm
that
looking
open
at
and
the,
read it?
Yeah, I'm looking at the Strong's, actually, for where you're Good. Referring to, I believe,
Good.
Which is and commanding to abstain from meats, right? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, the word commanding is italicized. So what does that tell you?
It's important.
That's what you and I would think. But in fact, if you read the Bible dictionary, it'll say it was the code or script that the translators used to tell each other that that word is not original to the manuscripts that was drafted from, but that was inserted at the opinion or belief of the translators.
Right.
So if you go back to the Greek interlinear, where you're literally reading, the original manuscripts in Greek.
That's what I use.
You'll see, you'll notice in that very line, there is no word above the word commanding. It's an empty space. So in my perception, the acting verb is not commanding, but the opposite, forbidding.
Yeah, it says abstain from in the Greek. You're right.
Yeah. See, now I abstain. Now, if you as a very conscientious Christian, believing that you got it right, you come up and say, Brother Rogers, you're out of order because God intended for you to eat flesh. It says right there, anybody who commands you to abstain is out of order.
Right.
But see, here's my problem. You know, for the first decades of my life, I was dealing in pathology. And every pathogen that I identified in a human being came from an animal host. That is the fact. So anyway, so that gave me a prejudice, so to speak. So that's what I read when I read Timothy 4, 1 through 6. I remove that word that was inserted by the translators and read it as Paul wrote it or Paul said it.
Sure.
Anybody who forbids you to abstain. Kind of like you said, you didn't have the ham, but you chose lamb.
Yep.
Well, wait a minute. If I produce pork, I'm not very happy at you giving up my pork. Anyway, and so that may be the fact that Paul is talking about in the latter days some shall depart from the faith.
Right.
Christ wanted you to be charitable. Well, I like the idea of being charitable to every living thing, too. It may sound a little radical to most people, but in terms of my pathology, it makes sense. See, I'm 81, and I'm kicking good. And I became a vegan back in 91 when I laid on the steel table, terminal with cancer. And as I laid on that table, I'm asking myself and my creator, the angels in heaven, what did I do wrong? And basically the spirit told me, and that's in my perception, of course, you already know. Mm. And I said, okay, you're right. For the first decades of my professional life, I was dealing with diseases, and they all are hosted in the livestock or in the animal kingdom. None of those diseases are contractable from anything in the garden. So I said, that makes sense. So I will back up to Genesis 1 and 29. I will respect and live that law rather than the later laws that were corrupted by the Levites. The Levites always were messing with the records, weren't they? So you have to be careful and read it with the Spirit. Let the Spirit dictate to you what is supposed to be there. So then I turned to like Isaiah 66, 3 and 4. Whosoever slays the ox is the same as he who slays a man. Whosoever cuts the throat of the lamb is the same who would break the dog's neck. And if you go back to the Hebrew, what does the term dog refer to? It means your best friend. And who is the lamb that is our best friend? Who is the lamb?
Right, that's Jesus.
Right. So, and I think Isaiah had a lot more going for him than those priests in the temple.
I do too, Tom.
The same thing with all of the other minor prophets. Every single one of them decry or, you know, they condemn the bloody acts of those priests in the temple. They were supposed to be blessing the people, blessing the animals brought to them rather than killing them or shedding their blood. That's a pretty strong thing for me to say, but my pathology validates that. See, that's my problem. I'm locked in by science. And if science is true, it has to agree with God. If God is true, he has to agree with science because he's the author of it all.
That's right.
So I've had, you know, when I was 50 laying on that steel table myself, looking at death, and by the way, I had three children in my home that belonged to members of the church or members of the community, not through the state. So I was worried about my survival because I needed to help these children.
Yeah,
I mean, children have been my focus through my whole life. And remember the words of Christ, suffer the little children to come unto me. Whosoever harms one of these, my little ones, it is better that a millstone be hung about their neck. I don't want a millstone on my neck. I don't want a millstone. So I figured being charitable is the most important, and especially with those who are most innocent and helpless. Anyway, I appreciate you, Chris, and I really appreciate your Christian behavior in teaching Christ.
Oh, thank you
that
very
is
much.
That's remarkable.
Well, I appreciate you and all your knowledge and wisdom, Tom. Thank you so much. And coming from your experience, you know, in the field, I really appreciate it.
Well, anyway, we need to be really kind with each other, especially now while the world is upside down and these devils have taken charge. By the way, I find
it
really curious, really curious, the book of Revelation, chapter 2. I recommend people reread chapter 2, verse 14, verse 20. Make sure we're not making the mistake that John was sadly chastising the followers of Christ, that they were wrong in one point of their life. By the way, again, that is the precipitate, looking for the right word, that is the predicator, the forerunner, or the cause of dis-ease.
Yes.
When we're breaking, there is a law irrevocably decreed in heaven. Whenever we receive a blessing from God, it is by obedience to that law upon which that is predicated. By the way, that's from Dead Sea Scroll stuff. So when we live a law, God has promised the blessing. When we violate the law, whether we do it ignorantly or knowingly, we suffer the consequence. And like you say, we suffer it here. We need to stop breaking the law. We need to trust in God, trust in Christ, and follow his advice. And if it doesn't make any sense, we got to figure it out and use our spirit. Anyway, thank you, Chris.
My pleasure. My absolute
pleasure.
Thank you so much.
Oh, by the way, 34 million in America are still being injured. So go to gassingamerica.com. And by the way, these other cases where I've helped, you know, restored children to their family, they're linked from that same web page in the top bar. Family versus state, license to kill, oh my gosh. Children's Holocaust, well.
It's atrocious.
Anyway, thank you very much.
You got it, Tom. Don't be a stranger. I know you won't. Thanks again.
Yeah, I'm a big mouth.
No, you should Hopefully, be shouting this stuff from the rooftops, Tom. You're doing the right thing.
Yeah, we need to start living the gospel of Christ.
Yes.
We it's nice to draw near to him with our lips, but we really need to draw near to him with our heart and our behavior. And every act, it needs to be charitable.
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
Thank you.
May Yahweh keep you safe and bless you, Tom. Go to gassingamerica.com, everybody. Check it out. Check it out. And it's no coincidence that Tom brought up the beginning of Revelation chapter 2, for that's what I was reflecting in just 5 minutes before I came on the air. And I have it highlighted in my concordant literal New Testament that I use. And it says, and I'll go to your next call. I appreciate you holding. I am aware of your acts and your toil and your endurance, and that you cannot bear evil men. And you try those saying that they themselves are apostles and they are not. And you found them false, and you have endurance, and you bear because of my name and are not wearied. But I have against you that you leave your first love. Remember then whence you have fallen, and repent and do the former acts. Yet if not, I am coming to you and shall be moving your lampstand out of its place if ever you should not be repenting. But this you have, that you are hating the acts of the Nicolaitans, which I also am hating. And then further down, of course, it gets into that notorious scripture, which is chapter 2, verse 9 in Revelation. Quote, I am aware of your acts in affliction and poverty, but you are rich, and the calumny of those saying that they are themselves Jews, and they are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. Fear nothing that you are about to be suffering. Lo, the adversary is about to be casting some of you into jail that you may be tried, and you will be having affliction 10 days. Become faithful until death, and I shall be giving you the wreath of life. Who hath an ear? Let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the ecclesias. The one who is conquering may under no circumstances be injured by the second death. And it's no coincidence, folks, that these modern-day Edomites, who call themselves Jews, are so legalistic. They so focus on death. That's why they have all these fraternities surrounding death, which is what Freemasonry really is at its highest, highest levels. The Brotherhood of Death, Chapter 322, The Skull and Bones, from Yale University. And all the rest of them, Scrolling Key, Pen and Quill, you know, I'm probably botching a couple of them here, but they all have them. And it all goes back to the Brotherhood of the Serpent, who was the original snake in the garden. Satan. They are the sons of Satan. Thank you so much for holding. I'm going to take your next call. Ed in Iowa, patiently holding. Hey, Ed. Do I have you there, Ed? Maybe not. Yeah, no, you're good. You're good. I know you're in a meeting. Excellent. Thank you.
Hey, just to get hang on a minute. Hello, Chris.
Hey, Ed.
I was talking to somebody just a minute. Sorry about that.
Oh, you're good.
I just wanted to correct something you said on the way that we refer to Israel, people of Israel, and you were saying Aryan. You said Aryan, and that word Aryan, if you look it up, and I read a court case on it, as a matter of fact.
Okay.
And the court case said that Aryan is actually not a people; it is a language. And Aryan people are not white people. And so the best word to use is Anglo-Saxon, because Anglo-Saxon means Isaac's sons. And you can look that up on the internet. I already have.
Oh, you're right. You're right about Anglo-Saxon. Yeah. Yes. I'll look into that.
That one is the best one to say. And the other thing is, to that guy that was arguing with you earlier, one of the things you could have said to him was when Christ met the Canaanite lady at the well with the disciples. You remember in Matthew 15:24, I think it is.
Mm-hmm.
He said, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel."
Mm.
And so that right there, my friend, shuts the mouths of these people that try to argue. Because it's very clear in the interlinear, Greek interlinear.
Yep.
If you look at the Greek interlinear, it's very clear that those are the words that were said in the Greek interlinear. So, and the other thing that I wanted to say was, I don't know the passages. I can't remember the names of the passages, but when the Sadducees and Pharisees or the church, I guess the Roman church, that's what it was, Roman church leaders, when they were trying to decide between Barabbas and Christ, if you'll remember, they said, "Let his blood be on our heads and our children." So they actually willingly cursed themselves, okay? And when Christ died on the cross, he sealed the curse. If you read the Greek interlinear, anyway, if you read the scriptures, all the scriptures say the opposite. But he said on the cross before he died, "Father, forgive them not, for they know what they do. And if you look at the Greek interlinear, that's exactly what he said. He did not say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do.
Right.
And the reason why would be because it would have been a lie right out of the pit of hell if he'd have said that, because all of those people knew Christ was coming to this earth way in advance. They knew the prophecy. They tried to kill all the babies. Remember, they tried to kill all the male babies.
Mm-hmm.
Pharaoh did, and way before Christ came, and so they knew the prophecy. They knew he was coming, and they were trying to keep him from happening. So, if Christ would have said, "Father, forgive them not," forgive them, for they know not what they do, that would have been a lie. So he didn't say that. He said the opposite. And if you look at the Greek interlinear, you'll see it. Most people don't. They're shocked when I tell them that. But I said, "Hey."
Yeah.
You know, I was just as shocked when I saw it being changed. And every scripture, I don't care what scripture you pick up, it's going to say the very opposite from what the Greek says.
Yep.
So, anyway, that's it. That's all I had. I didn't have anything else right now. But I'm the guy, though, awesome. I just wanted to say I'm the guy that has the program that teaches the white people that about their country with the United States. And I mm-hmm. teach them how to remedy the problems we have with this modern system, and get out from under it. You know, kind of leave the matrix, so to speak.
Yep.
And I'm the one that teaches that on Zoom. And every time we have one, I always send you an invitation. So you could anytime you want.
I will have to grab it. When's the next one, Ed?
It's the fourth Wednesday. I don't know what the day is. It's this fourth Wednesday of this month. And we have it on the second and fourth Wednesdays of every month.
Okay.
So, anyway, we're going to be talking about... We talk about good stuff every program, because I always prepare something real good for everybody to learn that this is the promised land. The United States is a promised land. If you read the Pilgrims stuff...
Yeah.
They knew who they were. They knew that they were Anglo-Saxon, that they were the children of Israel. They knew that.
That's right.
They say it in their writings. And so it's not something, you know, as far back as that was ago, you know, that's ancient, you know, to today. If they knew they were Israel, then why what happened to us? Well,
yeah.
We just got burnt. We got brainwashed, that's all, and lost it. So, and the only reason Israel is lost is they're lost mentally. They're not lost physically.
Right.
And
yes.
So that's the problem. Anyway, that's
spiritual.
It. That's all I had, so you can go to your next caller.
Hey, thank you so much, Ed, and I will have to reach out to you, like I said. We'll talk.
But no problem.
Thank you so much.
I mean, you can come whenever you want to. It's not a problem. All right.
Yeah, no, I appreciate the invite, though. God bless you, Ed.
All right. Mm-hmm. God bless you, too. We'll talk at you later.
Yes. Yes, sir. Ed's absolutely correct in what he says. He's biblically sound, scripturally sound. And, yes, you have to go to the interlinear in both the Greek and the Hebrew when referring to the Old and the New Testament, respectively. And, of course, the Greek for the New, the Hebrew for the Old Testament, okay? And you will see some surprising, jarring differences between perhaps your King James Bible, even, in some cases. It looks almost willful, the mistranslations. Not always, you know. There's some beautiful translations in there. But some of the places, it looks willful, and it's bad. It's leading people astray. And I just want to read real quick here before I jump to the next caller who's been holding very patiently. Matthew 27:25, which is what Ed was referring to, which is the generational curse on those who killed the Savior, Jesus Christ. And it's Matthew 27:25. And answering all the people said, His blood be on us and our children. His blood be on us and our children. And I did an hour and a half hour and a half presentation with another guest on my BitChute channel called The Generational Curse on the Jew, Millennial Mikey and the Freedom Ministry. And it's an hour and a half. It's right there on my BitChute channel, so you can check it out. If you look up The Generational Curse on the Jew, space TFM, and then enter in like a search engine, it'll be the first link, I'm sure. So check that out if you'd like to see an in-depth presentation on it. And yes, go to the interlinear to understand what the word of Yahweh says. With that, I'm going to Chance in West Virginia. Thank you for holding, Chance.
Yes, hello, Chris. As you know, I was born, raised, and went to college in New Jersey. As a matter of fact, I visited Lakewood many times years ago, back when you guys had half the population that you have now. The nice little shore community next to Brick Township and Point Pleasant. I'm very familiar.
Yep.
The reason why I call, Chris, is I remember reading about Lakewood, I don't know how many years ago it was, about members of a certain group and religion that embezzled millions of dollars from the local social service agencies. You're aware of that, aren't you?
Oh, yeah, they're doing it constantly. There's new cases right now. What they do now, actually, is with their little boys' schools, you know, for their children, they call them special ed schools in most cases to reap like max benefits, and they're essentially saying that all their children are retarded, and it's maybe all of them are, but you know it's really just a con, and they're scamming and bilking the state and the town, and there's plenty of cases on that. But please go on. You're absolutely right.
Yeah, you might want to tell your audience what persuasion these people were. I heard they embezzled millions of dollars. Yes, I mean, we're beating around the bush here, but it happened to be the local Jewish groups. Embezzled millions of dollars from this local social service agencies. I believe they got caught. I don't know how many years ago that was. Like I said, I visited Lakewood when I lived there. It's a nice little shore community next to Brick Township there. Like I said, but this is back when you guys had half the population you have now, because it seems people flooded down to South Jersey, including myself, when the North turned to crap. It was a long time ago. But I just wanted to bring that point about all those millions of dollars. What a brazen act of theft. Have you heard anything more about those folks? Did they serve like a day and a half in jail and that's it, or what?
That's usually what happens. Yeah, if they serve any time at all, they'll pay like minimal restitution fees, and you know, most of the time they say the money's like not found, or they only find pieces of it. But yes, absolutely. Right now there's cases going on with these yeshivas, you know, these schools for their boys, where they've been funneling and bilking money for public transportation, you know, to get them to and from their homes.
Yeah, and these people, Chris, lived in nice homes and everything. They had money, but yet they stole millions. They stole millions from the local social service agencies. I read that, I almost shit. And I don't know how many years ago this was. I don't know what year was that, Chris? Maybe 5-6 years ago.
Yeah, and there's new cases every year. They're popping up.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I could imagine, especially in New Jersey, because that crowd practically runs New Jersey, New York, you know? They run that area. Same with certain parts of Florida, yeah. Okay, well, Chris, thank you for taking my call now. God bless.
Yeah, of course. God bless you as well, Chance. May keep you safe out there in West Virginia. Yeah, I just pulled up an article now. Rabbi accused of stealing New Jersey school money pleads not guilty. And this is from the Times of Israel. Osher Eisenman rejects accusations he embezzled $1 million from the institution he founded for children with special needs. Okay? And it's like all their children go to this school. called the School for Children with Hidden Intelligence, they call it, in Lakewood. And the school's fundraising foundation is also charged in the matter and also pled not guilty. But, you know, there's so many different claims of embezzlement, fraud, theft by deception, all sorts of things, wire fraud, you know, you name it, on and on. And they, you know, they very well, okay, they do it very well is they navigate these legal systems because they are so legalistic. So legalistic. They're afraid of death because in some, you know, part of their being, they have to know that they're not heading for a nice end. So they're going to make the best of it here in this worldly existence. And they're going to do everything they can to destroy and cheat and steal from God's chosen people. For we, Israel, are God's chosen people, not the hook-nosed descendants of Satan. For it is a literal bloodline of Satan, as you can find right in the beginning of the books of Genesis. It is clear. They make no bones about it. None at all. And here, just a little blurb from this article, so you know what I'm, you know, this is, it's money. Authorities have claimed Eisenman misappropriated $979,000, just shy of a mil, in public tuition funds the school received. They don't even care when they rip off their own people. What makes you think they care about you? Not one iota. They don't give a darn about any non-Jews. And I don't even like calling them Jews now. They're Edomites. They're the sons of Cain. Esau Edomites. Khazars. Hasidics. The modern Pharisees and Sadducees of our day. Included in that amount is $450,000, almost half a mil, payment allegedly made to an entity in, drumroll, New York, to pay back due taxes for something else. Eisenman's lawyer says he can account for all the money in question. Yeah, just let me get the books over there. No, not that book, the other book. Yeah, they have multiple books. We know how you do your booking and your accounting. It's what they've done, you know? They're the money changers from Jesus' time. What did Jesus do to the money changers, folks? Do you think he was nice about it? You think he went in there and said he's going to write his congressman and, you know, put a little thing up and say, oh, can you please stop peddling your wares in my father's temple? Or do you think he went in there enraged, tossing over the tables, whipping them to get out? Stop defiling my father's temple, he said. That's what he did. So if something's stirring up in you, good. You should not be apathetic and complacent in your existence. You should be growing closer to God and doing his will for you in your life. For that's why you're here, to love your brethren. And as Tom said, charity. Charity. I'm coming around to this stuff. I'm not going to lie. I was very angry. And you can probably hear it in some of my earlier broadcasts. Very angry. I mean, I'm you know, it's let me tell you this. The deception is so great, as it says right in our Bible, that even the elect will be deceived, right? It's difficult. I'm not going to say it's easy. But it's worth doing. It's worth it. Get in your Bible. Mind, body, and spirit. Full circle. And when you're firing on all cylinders, folks, the potential is limitless. You will be blessed in all your endeavors. And these riches that these godless heathens want to amass here on earth cannot be taken with them whence they go. And for someone like you and I, who believe the word of God, who know the truth, how can you scare us with the physical death, the passing of this mortal coil? As I've said before, and I'll say it again, don't threaten me with a good time, Edomite. I have plenty left to do here, and I hope I live a long life. But when I go, I'm going home. I'm going home. I know this in the core of my very being, my essence. It's part of my genetic makeup. It's in my DNA. It is written. And that is why, folks, it is so important that you do not mess with your DNA. Okay? So what are you doing when you alter that God-inspired creation, which is you? You're messing with things that you really don't have a handle on. Because if you did, I don't think you'd do it. It is serious, folks. And these companies, these big, multi-billion, trillion probably dollar companies that produce these satanic, wicked, fallen technologies like the mRNA device, the COVID shot, they admit right on their website, it is public. Go to Moderna's website and check me out. Call my bluff. I'm not making it up. They say that they're modifying and manipulating the human DNA, your code. They call it the software of life, folks. They make no bones about it. They call it the software of life. And as you well know, if you've listened to my broadcast, they invert things. So when they say that, they mean the software of death. Death. And you can see testimony after testimony of people who were of the cloth, right? Like people who were trying to walk a Christian life, the faithful, who kowtowed to the state, took the jab, and then they give testimony about how they were ashamed, embarrassed to say the word Jesus afterward. They felt different. They felt like separate from, distant from him, from Yahweh. There is something to this stuff, folks. And that's why I want to teach you right from the scripture, from God's holy word, because as a previous caller said, the science matches God, and God matches the science. It's all there. He has never lied to us, and he never will. Never, ever. Get into your Bibles and make sure you have a concordant so you can actually look at what the original intent of these words mean, such as the interlinear Hebrew, the interlinear Greek. I like the way that the concordant literal translations read, but I still check up on all of it because it's not perfect. But God is perfect. I'm going back to the complete works of Bertrand Comparé. We aren't forfeiting our chance of salvation if we are foolish enough to violate the dietary laws. This wasn't the purpose of them. Here is what Jesus said in Matthew 5:17-18. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. When do heaven and earth pass away? It is not until after the millennium and the 1,000 years reign of Yahshua, Jesus. Revelation 21, verse 1, is the first time where we find the statement that the first heaven and the first earth are passed away. Matthew 5:19 continues, "Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven." The laws of Yahweh are still in effect. Nobody has ever succeeded in fully living up to them except Yahshua. In Old Testament times, when you realized you had broken one of these laws, you took your animal sacrifice to the temple and were assured of Yahweh's forgiveness. Today we don't offer an animal sacrifice. We pray to be forgiven because Yeshua has made the real sacrifice for you. These ministers who teach that the law is all done away with and has no power today, you can see where they are going to wind up, even if they do get their salvation and redemption. Proverbs 28, verse 9 states, "He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be abomination." So much for the general four categories of the law. Now let's take a little look at what these laws are in some of these groups. There is the law of military training and military service, as there is no pacifism whatsoever in the Bible. Yahweh not only authorized war, he expressly commanded it in certain circumstances and instances. For example, Yahweh commanded the literal extermination of the Amalekites. Read Exodus 17:14-16, and also Deuteronomy 25:17-19, quote, "And Yahweh said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in a book, and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua, for I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. And Moses built an altar and called the name of it Yahweh Nisi, Yahweh is my banner. For he said, because Yahweh hath sworn that Yahweh will have war with Amalek from generation to generation." And might I add that Yahweh also commanded the Israelites to exterminate the Amalekites in another book of the Bible, Esther. For Haman and his followers were Amalekites. It was decreed by King Ahasuerus, also called Xerxes. The Canaanites who lived in the land of the people of Israel were to occupy. Israel was commanded to exterminate. They weren't to do as we have done in Vietnam and say they didn't want to win the war. We just want to convince them to be reasonable. Read what Deuteronomy 7:1-4 records. Quote, "When Yahweh thy God shall bring thee into the land whither thou goest to possess it, and hath cast out many nations before thee, the Hittites, and the Girgashites, and the Amorites, and the Canaanites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, seven nations greater and mightier than thou, and when Yahweh thy God shall deliver them before thee, thou shalt smite them, and utterly destroy them, nor shew mercy unto them. Neither shalt thou make marriages with them. Thy daughter thou shalt not give unto his son, nor his daughter shalt thou take unto thy son. For thy will turn away thy son from following me, that they may serve other gods. So will anger of Yahweh be kindled against you, and destroy thee suddenly." Think about that. It's been decreed from God. It's not my opinion. I'm following the word of God. Wars of liberation to drive out oppressive tyrants were favored. Numbers 10 through 9, 10 verse 9 promises us, quote, "And if ye go to war in your land against the enemy that oppresseth you, then ye shall blow an alarm with the trumpets, and ye shall be remembered before Yahweh your God, and ye shall be saved from your enemies," end quote. These aggressors who made war against our people were not to be left in condition to keep on repeating this aggression over and over again. The people had been warned they were not to be aggressors themselves, attacking others who were peacefully inclined toward them. However, if any other nation made aggressive war on them, like in Esther, for example, here was the rule stated in Deuteronomy, chapter 20, verses 10 through 13. Quote, "When thou comest nigh unto a city to fight against it, then proclaim peace unto it. And it shall be, if it make thee an answer of peace and open its gates unto thee, then it shall be, that all the people that are found therein shall be tributaries unto thee, and they shall serve thee. And if it will make no peace with thee, but will make war with thee, then thou shalt besiege it. And when Yahweh thy God hath delivered it into thine hands, thou shalt smite every male thereof with the edge of the sword," end quote. And again, for those who have a contention with the book of Esther, it follows all of God's commands perfectly. It's a story of his people being delivered, protected, and blessed for following Yahweh. A little of this action in Vietnam would have restored peace in a hurry. Exodus 15:3 tells us, Yahweh is a man of war. Psalms 144:1 continues, quote, "Blessed by Yahweh my strength, which teacheth my hands to war and my fingers to fight." Remember, Yahweh said that David was a man after his own heart. The law was for universal military training, which is recorded in Numbers 26, 1 through 2, quote, "And it came to pass after the plague that Yahweh spake unto Moses and unto Eleazar, the son of Aaron the priest, saying, Take the sum of all the congregation of the children of Israel, from 20 years old and upward, throughout their father's house, all that are able to go to war in Israel. They were all registered for the draft from the age of 20. Has Christianity done away with all this? Has it revealed that everything Yahweh said before Yeshua came to redeem Israel was a mistake and has to be thrown out? I think not. Yeshua confirmed the need for conscription laws in Luke 12:51. "Suppose ye that I am come to give peace on earth? I tell you nay, but rather division." If we would only heed what Yeshua said, there was going to be division, and with division comes battles. Mix us up with our enemies in the United Nations in one great happy satanic family? No, division and separation cannot stand. No division and separation. 2 Corinthians 6:17 commands us to, quote, "Come out from among them and be ye separate," separate. It is a command from the beginning. In Luke 22:36, Yeshua was speaking to his disciples and gave them important instructions. Quote, "Then he said unto them, But now he that hath a purse, let him take it, and likewise his scrip. And he that hath no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one." Matthew 10:34 continues, "Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I am not to send peace, but a sword." You cannot have real Christianity, uncompromising resistance to satanic evil, without war. The satanic organizations of the earth aren't going to let you get away with opposition without war. We would have to do one of two things. We would either have to desert Yahweh and join Satan's forces, or stand by Yahweh and have war with Satan. There is no intermediate ground. You cannot negotiate with evil. The Bible makes it very clear that Yahweh is not a pacifist in the meaning of today's pacifists. Does this mean that Yahweh doesn't like peace? Not at all. He wants a true peace, which can only be had under his own rules. The kind of peace that the communist-controlled countries are having is not peace in the eyes of Yahweh. This Bolshevism that you see today all around us is not peace. We are at war already. There just isn't open gunfire here in America on our doorstep yet. In Leviticus chapter 26, Yahweh states, quote, "If ye walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and do them, I will give peace in the land, and ye shall lie down, and none shall make you afraid, and I will rid evil beasts out of the land, neither shall the sword go through your land, and ye shall chase your enemies, and they shall fall before you by the sword. And 5 of you shall chase 100, and 100 of you shall put 10,000 into flight, and your enemies shall fall before you by the sword." Instead of obeying Yahweh's laws, our politicians turn their back on him in order to get the votes of the minorities. We have over 40,000 dead Americans in South Vietnam against an enemy that isn't even fifth rate. And of course, this was written at that time, you know, by Pastor Bertrand Comparé, who passed in the early 80s. It is hard to find anything in which we haven't perverted the laws of Yahweh. Take, for example, the laws of citizenship and eligibility for public office. Anybody from a country whose people are not of our race, whose civilization is not compatible with ours, whose ideals are not like ours at all, can emigrate here and, after a relatively short period of time, can be naturalized as a citizen. They are given full citizenship equal to someone born here. This is completely contrary to Yahweh's laws. Yahweh's laws on immigration are explained in detail in Deuteronomy chapter 23, verses 3 through 8. Remember, there were descendants of Abraham by a number of white women, only one of whom, named Isaac, was selected to be the father of Yahweh's chosen people, later to be called Israel. These people, who were racially the same, although not of the Israel nations, were not permitted citizenship until the third generation was born in the land. By this time, these people would have well absorbed our way of life. As to those who are racially not the same, they could not be admitted to citizenship even to the 10th generation. Aliens were not permitted to hold any public office. Deuteronomy 17:15 warns us, quote, "Thou mayest not set a stranger over thee, which is not thy brother." This word stranger doesn't mean somebody to whom you haven't been formally introduced. It is the Hebrew word, nokrai, or nokrei, which means a person of a different race. Race. When any non-Israelite is able to gain public office, this is plainly stated in the Bible as a curse upon us and a punishment for our wickedness. Deuteronomy 28:15 warns us, quote, "But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of Yahweh thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and statutes, which I command thee this day, that these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee." Then Deuteronomy 15:43-45 continues, quote, "The stranger that is within thee shall get up above thee very high, and thou shalt come down very low. He shall lend to thee, and thou shalt not lend to him. He shall be the head, and thou shalt be the tail. Because thou hearkenest not unto the voice of Yahweh thy God, to keep his commandments and his statutes, which he commanded thee." So there it is, folks. You're going to be in debt to these money changers, right? These happy merchants, the big banks of the Edomites. If you do not hearken to his voice, his word, his command. It's biblical. It's biblical. Foreign policy was also addressed always stupid, uninformed people trying to show you they are Bible-studying Christians. These pseudo-Christians love to say, quote, if you are a good Christian, you will love your enemies. Remember, the Bible is very careful to record that we are to love our enemies, not Yahweh's enemies. If your fellow Israelite is your enemy, he is your enemy for one of two reasons. Either you have done something wrong to him, in which case you should make amends, or he mistakenly thinks you have done something wrong to him, in which case you should try to get him to understand that you didn't do it. Yahweh's enemies are a different story. On the breakup of Israel, upon the death of Solomon, the northern kingdom went into idolatry immediately. The consequences of this were that Yahweh took away his favor from the northern kingdom of Israel. For this reason, a little while after this, one of the kings of Judah, who was making a half-hearted attempt to be good, sent military aid to help the king of Israel in a battle he was fighting. 2 Chronicles 19:2 records Yahweh's rebuke, quote, shouldest thou help the ungodly, and love them that hate Yahweh? Therefore is wrath upon thee from before Yahweh. When you help Yahweh's enemies, when you arrange yourself on their side, you yourself become the enemy of Yahweh and can expect to pay the penalty accordingly. Saying love your enemy isn't going to change the facts a bit. You can't fool Yahweh with silly catchphrases. Psalms chapter 139 records King David saying the following, quote, do not I hate them, O Yahweh, that hate thee? And am I not grieved with those that rise up against thee? I hate them with a perfect hatred. I count them mine enemies. Did Yahweh look down his nose and tell David he was one of those terrible hate mongers? In two places in the Bible, 1 Samuel 13:14 and Acts 13:22, Yahweh had this to say about David, quote, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart. If any one of us could get that much approval, it would really be something, wouldn't it? And I'm going to leave it there from the readings of the works of Bertrand Comparé. And just thank you humbly for listening to this broadcast and being a student of the Word of God. It's very important that we behave in a manner that would reflect our spark, our divinity from within us, for we are built in the image of God. And I'd like to read to you from Scripture something my wife and I love, one of our favorite verses from the New Testament, which states in 2 Timothy 2:15, endeavor to present yourself to God qualified, an unashamed worker, correctly cutting the word of truth. And with that, we wrap up the broadcast. God bless you, God bless America, and praise Yahweh in all your affairs.
Shut up!
Come back next week.
Be happy! Obey all orders without question! The comfort you've demanded is now...
American Freedom News is your daily website that will keep you fully informed on what both the good guys and bad guys are doing in the information war in which we are all engaged. Fed up with the lies of the fake news media and the censorship of big tech giants? American Freedom News is the solution, as we provide truth and knowledge on all the vital issues of the day. American Freedom News believes in America first. The establishment wants us split into numerous hostile groups rather than uniting in a common cause against the corrupt oligarchy that is plundering America and the world. Many more Americans are waking up and realizing they are the victims of the ongoing Great Replacement and Great Reset. But the malevolent forces trying to systematically destroy America can and will be defeated. Be fully informed by reading American Freedom News, the best news and information site on the internet. Go to AmericanFreedomNews.us and find out for yourself. That's AmericanFreedomNews.us.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.